You are listening to the weekly sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church in Canton, South Dakota. We're a church that strives to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference. To learn more, visit us at cantonsdumc.org. And now, here's Pastor Clay.
Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John in chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. And this is on page 156 in the New Testament of your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along as I read from the Good News Translation. This whole scenario happens on a morning when Jesus has met the disciples and is revealing his risen self to them once again. So after Jesus and the disciples had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter became sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And so he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I am telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you up and take you where you do not want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. And we give you thanks for who you are as we say together, Amen. I promised the kids I was going to tell an embarrassing story about me, so here we go. At the very top of the sermon, the most embarrassed I've ever been happened when I was a sixth grader at a home wrestling duel. And the reason why is because all the way back in middle school, our band director decided that it would be a great idea to have the middle school band take the literal center stage and be the pep band at a home wrestling duel. And during the course of that time on stage, we played the Hey Song. And if you know the Hey Song, you know that one of the main features of that song is the bass drum that goes doom to doom to doom to doom to doom to doom to doom. And guess who happened to be playing the bass drum that day? Me. And I just got to tell you that it did not go well. I could not for the life of me keep that doom-da-doom-da-doom beat going. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even find the beat by the end of this deal. It's been so long I don't remember how that song ended, but I know that it did not go well. And I know what you might be thinking. Clay, it was middle school. It wasn't that big of a deal. But this was the one and the only time that the middle school band ever played pep band at Gregory Schools, so I feel a little bit justified in feeling absolutely responsible for this being the case. I was feeling pretty down about it. And I didn't think that I could feel any worse until it got worse. A few weeks later, for reasons that I can't necessarily remember because I've been out of school for a very long time, our middle school band went to go to rehearse with the high school band, and the high school band just so happened to be practicing pep band music, and our band director said the words I was dreading that she would say, "Let's play the Hey Song." And the way that my heart sank, and then it got worse. Because the entire high school percussion section started to laugh, and then the coolest one of the bunch, a classmate of my sister's, looked at me and said, "Well, now Clay can hear how that song is supposed to sound." And my heart broke. All throughout his time with Jesus, Simon Peter would have had several moments that would have made him feel like a sixth grader who blew it on the biggest stage of his life at the time. Simon Peter was the first disciple to verbally identify Jesus for who he is, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But immediately after that, after Jesus starts to be talking about his death and resurrection, Simon Peter embarrasses himself by pulling Jesus aside and rebuking him. A little bit later in their time together, in this moment where Jesus had sent the disciples on ahead of him, Jesus walks across the Sea of Galilee to where the disciples are, and Peter challenges Jesus to identify himself by calling Peter out upon the waters with him. And after a few faithful steps, Simon Peter nearly drowns in the Sea of Galilee. How embarrassing to be that close to Jesus and then just fall over. And then comes the fateful night of Jesus' arrest. After absolutely failing to understand why Jesus was washing feet, and after failing to stay awake in the garden, and after abandoning Jesus to his unjust arrest, after being confronted about knowing Jesus, Simon Peter denies Jesus three times. And then Jesus dies. And then Jesus stays dead. Can you imagine Simon Peter feeling worse and worse and worse? Can you feel Simon Peter becoming more and more and more embarrassed? His last interaction would forever be the time that he boldly and defiantly said he would never deny or abandon Jesus, only to abandon and betray Jesus over and over and over again. And in Simon Peter's mind, up until that point, nothing would ever change, that being their last interaction. Can we sit in that for a second? Nothing's ever going to change that feeling. Until the resurrection. Until the resurrection. On that first Easter day. And in the days and the weeks following that. But the moment that really changed everything is the interaction from John's gospel that we just finished reading together. After the resurrection, after these initial appearances, after that Easter and the week later, the disciples once again encountered Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, identified in the gospel of John as Lake Tiberias. After giving fishing instructions to a boat full of professional fishermen, Jesus appears to the disciples. Jesus feeds them breakfast, and then Jesus and Simon Peter find themselves face to face and alone together. And that awkward and embarrassing tension had to have been absolutely palpable. Because on one side you have Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the risen Lord, standing next to Simon Peter, the hot-headed and reactionary and flawed disciple who made mistake after mistake after Jesus said that he would be the one that Jesus would build the church upon. But rather than rub his nose in his past mistakes, rather than rebuke Simon, rather than even mention all of the awkwardness, Jesus simply asks Simon Peter a question. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" And notice with me for just a second that he does not say Peter, he says Simon. because you may remember that before his name was Peter, his name was Simon. And it was Jesus who gave him the name Peter. And so Jesus is signaling something intentional in his words. Jesus is asking Simon Peter to go deeper into this conversation by invoking his parental name. Simon, do you love me in the heart of your identity? Simon, do you love me in the depth of who you are? Simon, do you love me with every fiber of your being? Before anything else that you are or anything else that identifies you, do you love me? It is three times that Jesus asks this question. And three times that Simon Peter affirms his love. And then three times that Jesus commissions Simon Peter to go forth, to go beyond his failings and foibles, to serve the Lord with the rest of his life, because that's what really matters. And it is in this service that Simon will be fully known. I like how William Barclay says it in his commentary on this passage, where he says that Jesus, in his gracious forgiveness, gave Peter the chance to wipe out the memory of his threefold denial with a threefold declaration of love, followed by a threefold pronouncement of a call and a purpose. Simon Peter's my favorite disciple because he is just so us. After so many issues and errors, after so many false starts and overreactions, after so many moments of divine brilliance followed by absolute human blunder, Jesus is still willing to fully restore Simon Peter. And more than that, Jesus fully restores Simon Peter. He absolves Simon of all of this guilt and all of the shame that he would have carried with him, and gives him the great honor of being a shepherd of the people of God. And what I want you to know is that just like Simon Peter, we are not known by our biggest mistakes. I am not defined by the guy that messed up the Hay Song. In fact, no one's mentioned it again until I brought it up this morning. It was not my crowning achievement in high school band. Actually, my crowning achievement of high school band was being the name the John Philip Sousa Award winner of the GHS class of 2006. I had to dig a long time to find that piece of paper, to tell you the truth. Simon Peter is not defined by his repeated denials of Jesus. In fact, he is as Jesus has called him. He is the rock upon whom the church is built. And he is the one that stood on the day of Pentecost and proclaimed the truth of God to the point that 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ in one day. We are not known by our biggest mistakes. I'm not, Simon Peter isn't, and neither are you. I don't know what your biggest mistakes are. I don't know what those embarrassing moments are that you replay in the back of your head in a moment of boredom just to cringe at all over again. But I know that you are not defined by those embarrassing moments. I don't know the errors that you have made when it comes to following Jesus. And you don't know all of mine, but rest assured, a lot of them exist. What I know is this. Jesus is much more interested in who you are becoming as we seek, along with Simon Peter, to take care of Jesus' sheep, to feed Jesus' lambs, to take care of the flock, as we also play our role as a shepherd of the people of God. We are not known by our embarrassing moments. We are known by Jesus' love. May it be known. Let us pray. Loving Jesus, we give you thanks for every moment that has led us to where we are. We give you thanks for every interaction that's gone well. And we even give you thanks for those interactions and those times that have been an absolute blunder. because they have made us into the person that you would have us to be and the person that you are using. Inspire us in the memory of Simon Peter to go forth and serve you, to give our lives to feed your sheep, and to be an ambassador of grace to all the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church. Join us in person or online at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for worship. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.
I want to encourage you after the message to head over to our YouTube channel and click the subscribe button. Over on YouTube, you will find videos of our entire worship service, a video cast of our weekly Cut for Time conversation with Pastor Clay and Eric, songs from our praise band One Way Up, and a bunch of other great things as well. Just search for Canton United Methodist Church. It would mean a lot to have you subscribe.